Welcome to Midweek Boost, the scary edition. No, hi, I'm Susie Judd. I know we have a couple of guests with us here tonight, and you might not know us. I'm Susie, and this is my son, Harry. Harry's 18. Harry's one of our four children. He's our third, and he was one of the final experiments before we did it right on the fourth one.
Don't believe her. She got it right the third time.
Anyway, Harry and I are here tonight because this week and next week we're going to do a co-teaching. Can't say I've ever, maybe Matt and I have done co-teaching, but haven't done it with one of my kids. And by that I mean it's not like I'm going to speak and then Harry's going to speak, which would be tag team speaking. We're going to both talk at the same time. Which is going to be interesting because we don't really have an outline or anything like that. I hear you have any notes over there? Okay.
We got 3 points.
Last time Harry had 3 points, he forgot too. So it's going to be interesting. But should we pray? You want to pray? You want me to pray?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord, what you're doing in all of us. I thank you as we come before you, God, we talk about this subject of parenting. We thank you that you're the great Father. Lord, everything that we know, everything that we've learned, it's from you. So tonight, Lord, we just imitate you as a great Father, oh, and as children, as we come in and be children tonight and learn more about this, Father, I thank you that you give us clarity and boldness to say what needs to be said. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Man, well, we're calling this parenting to empower. One reason we're calling it that is because, it's okay if I tell them what we're doing? Because Harry and I are actually writing a book called Parenting to Empower. At least that's what it's called right now. And we're writing a book about parenting together. It started out, it was Harry's book, and then he at some point asked me if I would help him because I have more experience with parenting than Harry does. And so he wanted me to help him with it, so... that's what we're doing. But I just want to talk for a moment about what it means to be a parent. Because I don't know about you, we have four kids. It's been the most overwhelming job of my life to be a parent. I mean, you can just have one, and I know some of you've got more than four. However many you have, it's an overwhelming, and it's the kind of thing that I have spent many nights of my life awake, laying in my bed, going, oh my goodness, what have I done to them? Where have I gotten it wrong? How can I fix this? Just perplexed, confused, frustrated, shamed, condemned, a lot of things. Am I the only one that's ever had that? Okay, so that's it's a lot of I think that we share something we share because parenting is a huge responsibility. And it's easy.
It's impossible, right?
In ourselves, it is. It's not just a responsibility. It is, I've seen this, you as a parent, because parenting is so much like discipling. It is the ultimate long-term discipling, what the Bible talks about discipling. But in parenting, we can draw our kids into a long-term relationship with the Father. We can raise children who as adults give God their lives, seek Him with their whole heart, or we can turn them from God. And by that, I don't mean us turning them from God doesn't mean that we like left the kingdom of God ourselves or we left church ourselves. Sometimes it's people in church that have turned their children from God because of the way they see God and the way they portray God to their children. And so I want to make sure that as we start this and talking about parenting to empower, the first thing I think we have to bring up is you have to parent by grace. And, you know, Jesus came as grace and truth. And so a lot of times parenting is talked about from the truth side. But we have to parent by grace. I want to talk about that. He's got nothing. Well, maybe I should read a scripture to you. It's a scripture from the Psalm 127. It's a scripture that you can't talk about parenting without reading. And does anyone know what that scripture is? Psalm 127? Nope. It's not about raising up a child.
Wrong.
What? No, but that was a good one too.
That's wrong.
Okay, we're going to stay here till we get it here. No, I'm only kidding. I'm eventually going to find it. It is Psalm 127. I think it's verse 3. I don't see it here in my notes. There we go. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. And the New Living says they are a gift from the Lord. And it goes on to say they are a reward from Him. Having a child is a gift. God has given us gifts in kids. And they are a reward, actually, from God. And that, to me, parenting starts with recognizing these kids I have are from God and they're a gift. And believe me, there are days we need to remember that. We have to, like, maybe that's the plaque we need in our house. These kids are actually gifts and they're a reward, even though they don't always seem like it. And because they're a gift from God to us, we have them in our lives and we get to enjoy them. But the reality is they don't belong to us, but they've been given to us to steward. And I see parenting as stewardship. And if that's kind of maybe a fancy word, it's a Bible word, but it really means there's somebody. A steward is one who manages something for someone else. And our children have been given to us to bless us, to bring us pleasure and delight, but yet we are to manage them and to steward them, because ultimately they don't belong to us, they belong to God. And so our interactions with them should all be, and not just, you know, everything that we do with them or for them or to them should be, it should be in our mind that they belong to God and we're managing them for Him and stewarding them. They have gifts. They are a gift, and then God has gifted them, and we manage them and with the idea that at one point, at some point, at some time, they're going to be an asset to the kingdom of God, and they're going to fulfill God's plan and purpose. Isn't that what all of us want for our kids? And so that's our basis. That's where we're coming at as parents. And it can be difficult because, you know, you start this process of parenting, and it doesn't matter how many books you read or what you've been through, you're never prepared, and you're not prepared for the stages as they come. You don't know, and the kids aren't prepared. You know, you're not prepared for the stages that are coming. But the children are a gift to us. So I just want everybody to acknowledge. Say, my kids are a gift. Now I want all the kids to say this. Say, I'm a gift. All right, I want you to say it again. I'm a gift.
I'm a gift.
From God.
From God.
To my family.
To my family.
They may use that on you later.
So, I think one thing that's awesome is how God has set up this whole deal. I mean, the way that He set up the whole parenting thing, He didn't have to do that. I mean, He could have just been throwing children down from heaven. But instead, Adam and Eve had kids, right? And they were told to go forth and multiply. And it talks about, I'll talk about kids, you know. I don't want everything tonight to be hard on the parents, all right? So we can make some things hard on the kids tonight, too. No, but, I mean, the scripture, you know, says, you know, honor your parents, right? I mean, this is the first commandment with a promise. You guys have heard this. And I believe, personally, it's all set up with parents as far as from the kids' point of view, that I'm growing up, I'm learning to honor my parents, I'm learning to love them, I'm learning to follow what they have for me. So the second that as I grow out of that, and I'm no longer under their house, under their control, under their authority as much, now that goes to God. Do you see that transition and how easy that goes? And a lot of people, I mean, kids can't even honor their own parents. How are they supposed to honor God who they can't see or, you know, anything? And so God has really set this all up. With as far as us to Him, when we grow up, I learn from them. I see everything in the same way I should learn from God. And this is His infinite wisdom and everything He does. I mean, He's got it all figured out. And we need understanding in this area as far as when it comes to parenting, because a lot of parents don't have it together, to be honest with you. I went to school with a lot of people. I was just really concerned about what was going on at their homes. Really was. And I always understand a lot more about a person after I meet their parents. You're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? You meet their families and you understand why they are the way they are. And a lot of people, it's like, I didn't choose them. And they didn't choose me either. But I definitely didn't choose them, you know? And so it really is. I mean, parenting is really a stewardship deal. And I believe education can't solve no problems. Government can't solve no problems. Even this church, it can't solve all your problems, folks. It starts in the house. And, you know, we like to quote the Bible around here, but Confucius, I learned this in history class, all right? Ninth grade, I learned this. Confucius said the thing that would change China was the family unit, and the family unit being strong. And, you know, he was a wise guy. But it's the truth. I mean, he understood that, obviously. And that's what's the deal in America right now, is a lot of the problems are the family unit is not strong. And the parents aren't strong, and the kids, I mean, if the parents aren't strong, the kids aren't going to be strong. I'm just going to be honest with you. And we do a lot of stuff with the youth group, and I see kids follow along with what their parents are doing. Isn't that crazy? Oh, kids get on fire for God. Oh, you look at their parents, they're on fire for God. Oh, kids are starting to not come. Oh, it's their parents. And so it's a tough thing, folks. But what you do really impacts your kids. It really does.
It does, and I talked about this back in May on Mother's Day. I spoke mommy issues. Some of you were here. I talked about, and I'll just reiterate this one point, that we as parents, we reproduce in our children what we are. And that is a fundamental point of parenting. We can all come in here tonight, and we're talking about parenting, and you're sitting there thinking, well, I'm going to be a great parent. I'm going to raise great children. But you can't get away from the fact that first and foremost, the kingdom of God operates as if a man casts seed in the ground. The very beginning in Genesis, it all started with seeds. The way you made the kids was with a seed. It all comes out of seed time and harvest. And the children are a product of the home. They're a product of what they're being raised in. And so there are things, and you know, Harry said that kind of strong, that parents are messed up, and it's true. And if you're a parent, you know you're messed up in some ways. You have issues, you have problems. But I will say this, there's great motivation to fix your deals and to deal with your stuff, to confront your issues in your life, to make changes in your life, to you know, do work to receive God's grace, however you want to put it, to grow in the knowledge of the Lord and just even some natural things in order. There's a motivation to do that in order for you not to pass on your problems to your kids. I know people talk about generational curses, and I'm not sure that's in the Bible per se. It's not a script. There's no scripture that talks about a generational curse. And even if there is a generational curse, in Christ, we are redeemed from every curse. So even if there are generational curses, which I'm not sure per se it's like that in the Bible, but even if there were, we are redeemed from that. However, we all know, Christians and maybe even ourselves, that we've lived out what people would describe as a generational curse, meaning that it was a problem for Daddy, and it's a problem for me, and it was a problem for Grandma, and it's a problem for my sister. And we see things that just continue, and it's not because of a generational curse. It's because of what I'm just talking about. We reproduce what we are. And if a kid grows up in a home where things are going on, where there's a mindset, where there's an ideal, where there's an addiction, where there's whatever it is, it gets on the kid because that's where they are. Your home is your garden. And so I just want to say to you tonight, one of the best things you can do for your kids is live healthy, get your soul to prosper, renew your mind, embrace God's plan for you, all the things that I tell you every Wednesday night, but do it for them if you don't do it for you. Okay. Now, we wanted to talk about a little bit tonight about, next week we're going to talk about identity and how important it is as parents that we help our children establish identity. But tonight we want to talk about a couple of other things. And one of the things we want to talk about is the idea of raising your kids by legalism or raising your children by grace. And there are so many things, I think, that we've learned and that have been, you know, spoken in the name of parenting, particularly, I think, in the church, have not been based on the grace of God. In fact, someone today, there were a lot of posts on our Facebook group and other places about tonight what we were going to be talking about, and Nate had posted and said, "What's your biggest challenge in parenting?" And one of the parents posted and said, "My biggest challenge is that I don't extend to my children the grace God has extended to me." And I thought, man, that's something a lot of us could write down. And in reality, we haven't been trained to parent by grace. We've been trained to parent by do it because I said it. And don't make me tell you again. And if we can get enough rules and we can get, you know, we can enforce things and be disciplined enough. And discipline's this huge word when it comes to parenting. And there's all kinds of things, you know, do you spank or not? All these things that are all related to discipline. And I think, you know, instead, when we're over in that area, when we're talking about should we spank or not, I think we have gotten way beyond where we should start talking, which is how do we deal with our children's hearts to start with? You know, if you're spanking your kid every day, if you're a spanker and you spank your kid every day, I don't think any kid should be being spanked every day. I think there's a problem, not just with the kid. I think there's a problem with the parenting. There's a problem in the home. Because somebody's heart's not being dealt with in a good way. There's not nurture and grace being given that would enable a child to rise up out of that behavior and put them in a good path. I don't think you can beat it out of a kid. But I can tell you what, you can raise a kid up, and that's what grace does, is it raises us up. Isn't that what God did for you? He raised you up out of where you were. He raised you up out of sin. Is that what God did in your life? Well, as parents, we actually have the power to raise them up from where they are. Or we can push them down into it. So that's a choice. You got anything to say about the legalism?
Yeah, I don't know if this goes along with that. I read a book when we were younger. It was called Do Hard Things. And I know some people who were here when we were younger, we talked about that a while. And the whole premise behind the book was that teenagers rebelling against low expectations. And a lot of it was mainly about society's, you know, what society thinks of teenagers. And I've been thinking about that book a lot because, I mean, is this me, Grayson? The book meant a lot to me. I, like, got a lot out of it. But I always think about how silly it is for us to have teenagers rebel against low expectations from their parents. And because I understand from society, but with our parents, it's like, you know, if your parents don't expect much from you, well, whose problem is that? Is that on my end or is that on their end? And so I think that's something as parents, I'm not a parent, but as parents, we need to challenge our kids and set the expectations higher. And this isn't by rules, all right? This isn't by rules. It's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about where you challenge your kids to get beyond themselves, to get out of their comfort zone, to be bigger than who they are. And a lot of that, a lot of times it takes getting their mind off them, getting it, because that's the biggest thing we struggle with as kids. Is this life's all about me. It's all about mine. It's all about what I can get. And so as parents, we push them out of that, and we push them into something much bigger than that. And all the while, I mean, I see it, we challenge them to be up here, and then we support them the whole way. We support them with grace all the way up to meet that challenge with God's help the whole way. And I've really seen it in my own life. I can think of countless times where I'm in some crazy situation. I'm like, how did I get myself here? And I realize, wait, this isn't me. This is my parents got me here. And what was so amazing is that I never backed down because I always had the support from them. Never backed down because I always knew that in the day, if everything else was falling apart, I would have my parents' support. And that's a huge thing, folks. It makes all the difference in life. I remember we were doing, I must have been in eighth grade. We were doing some blast kids camp. Y'all remember this? And it was an impossible thing for an eighth grader to lead that. And somehow I got myself into it, and somehow, maybe they got me into it. And I remember this very clearly, is the night before we had had a service in here, and my father got up and said, he made an appeal for me, all right? I didn't have enough people. I didn't know what I was doing. He made an appeal for me, and the next day, a bunch of people showed up, and it wasn't because of me. It was because he made an appeal for me. And that right there just shows you what this looks like. Challenged to do it, well, I couldn't do it in myself. He came in, he made an appeal, and the next day it was a success. That's what that looks like. And it's not so much about, making your kids fit into this model or making them do this or do that. It's a lot more about helping them be who God has called them to be. And so I'm so thankful. I know that if I hadn't been through challenge after challenge after challenge, I wouldn't be where I was today. And I believe what God has called me to do is challenge after challenge after challenge. And I know I'm not only rooted now no longer in just identity in them, but now I've grown up into my identity in Christ. And that's a crazy thing is when I think a lot of it happens when you get out of high school, is your whole world changes and you realize, hey, I've got to have my own relationship with God. Hey, this stuff they're talking about church that my parents dragged me to do or whatever, this has got to become real to me. And so there's a change that takes place. And this is on the kids' part. But what happens is a lot of times it's delayed because the parents haven't helped the whole process, you know? And if you're constantly controlling your kids, well, then what happens when they get to God and find out the Holy Spirit's a gentleman and he's not going to push you into anything? Well, that makes it really difficult to hear from God, right? The Holy Spirit doesn't control me to do anything, but if I had parents controlling me my whole life, I'm going to get out there and be like, Jesus, what do I do? And he's going to tell me just to believe. What does that mean, Jesus? You know? And so, I mean, this whole thing is a process. And tonight, I understand my tone right now is coming down a little harsh. I mean, that's my personality. So, I'm not trying to be like that at all. I realized after that first statement, I was like, I need to tone it down a bit. But I think it's really important that we all know that we can't do this without God. We can't do this without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And so we'll move on to something else.
Here we go. Yeah, let's talk for a minute. God set standards. Under the old covenant, God gave the Ten Commandments. How many of y'all remember those? Anybody can remember any of them? Shall not steal. What else? Covet. Covet somebody's neighbor's wife. Bear false witness. Adultery. Hey, how about all y'all over there? Y'all know any of the Ten Commandments? Don't go to Taco Bell. Yeah, no other God. Okay, well, I think we know a lot of them. But that's a standard that God set, right? And he set it knowing that they could never live up to that standard. Is that right? Well, you know, as parents, we all like to set standards. How many of you have some kind of standards at your house? Have some kind of standards for your kids? I mean, there's nothing wrong with standards, you know, or a goal or, you know, this, I'm not accepting anything less than this, whatever that might be. You might really need to discuss what those things are. But just making a standard and then yelling at the kid or punishing the kid until they reach that standard or because they don't is not going to make for a good home life and is not going to make for a healthy relationship with your kids any more than it did for us whenever God set a standard and we couldn't meet the standard. So what did God do when he set a standard and he saw that we couldn't meet it? He knew we couldn't. What did he do? He sent us a Savior. He gave us his grace. And what God's grace does is it lifts us from where we are up to meet his standard. Some people think grace means God said, okay, the standard doesn't matter anymore. That's what some people think. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus, through what he did, he enabled us to meet the standard. And the reality is the Holy Spirit's ongoing ministry in our lives is to enable us, to empower us, to make us ready, to work. He works in us and through us, enabling us to meet God's standards. We think Jesus came and took away the standard. No, Jesus came and fulfilled the standard. We get credit for it. And then the Holy Spirit enables us to actually live like we were meant to live. And that is our role as a parent, really, is to enable our children. And you may have some high standards, but you can't have the standard and then punish when the standard isn't met. You have to enable your kids to meet the standards. You have to be an empowering parent. You have to do for your children what the Holy Spirit has done for you. And it's very interesting. The Bible's word for the Holy Spirit is the comforter. Because oftentimes, whatever standard it is that God has for us, it's a tough standard to meet. Terry was talking about that earlier, how God will correct us. But there's a standard, there's something that God wants for us, but He has made us fit for it. He has enabled us to do it. He comforts us by the Holy Spirit. How many of y'all, God's ever asked you to do something that was beyond your comfort? Well, if God never has asked you to do that, I can tell you, you haven't been listening to God, because He will always lead you to do something you're uncomfortable with. But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will comfort you and enable you to do it. How will He comfort you? Well, He is the guide. He's the counselor. He's the standby. He's the advocate. He's the strengthener. And I, you know, somewhere along the way, I got a revelation that all of those things, that's what I am in my kids' lives. I set challenges. I mean, Harry can tell you, we're not going to sit up here tonight and tell you things that have happened in our family necessarily, because they just go on all night. But we've done some very challenging, you know, one of the things that we've done is we've really pushed our children to go on missions trips or to travel internationally. And when our daughter Molly turned 13, we just knew Molly was kind of a free spirit. And so we said, Molly, you need to just go. And so we worked out with her to go. What's the people? Ron Luce, Teen Mania, whatever they call their group now, to go to Costa Rica for 2 weeks. And we didn't know a soul she was going there with. Can you imagine this? What were we thinking? And we put her on a plane, and she flew away for 2 weeks to another country. We did not know one person. We just had seen a brochure. Put her on the plane and sent her. And she was scared. And so I remember she called me. They were in Texas, and she called me, and she was scared. And guess who got on the phone? The Comforter. And I comforted her, and she never said, I want to come home. I don't want to continue on this trip. But I just was there to encourage her and to tell her, Molly, you can do this. You can make it. And it changed her life. And that was the first of about, I think, 11 international trips she's been on now, doing all kinds of things, and loves it. But our job is to encourage and to empower them. We can't just set a standard. Then once that standard is there, we have to lift them up. And I tell you, the cruelest thing that you can do to a kid is to set a standard. Well, maybe not the cruelest, but a cruel thing you could do to a child is to set a standard that they're going to struggle to try to meet, and you don't have any plan or purpose or heart to help them meet it. You're failing them, and you're making everybody miserable. And for some people here tonight, I'm just going to challenge you. You need to throw away a lot of the rules you have at your house. You have ridiculous rule. You're just overdone. It's the spirit, but it's not the rule in itself. It's the spirit behind it. It's the, you're demanding your child perform. And Harry said something to me about performance and what we do with our kids.
Right. So when we ask our kids, when we give them rules, right, and we expect certain behavior, and if that's not certain behavior, I mean, if it isn't behaved right, whatever. Then there's punishment. If they don't perform, then there's punishment. But what this does in the mind of a kid is it makes us see that our parents are far more concerned about our behavior than about who we are, right? And this is the reason why a lot of people don't come to church, is because they think that's how God is, that He's concerned about my behavior and He doesn't care about me. And so, but somehow we've done this in the house too, is where we don't, we value our kids' performance before who they are. And we see within the ministry of Jesus, all right, let's get biblical. We see in the ministry of Jesus, right before he's launched out into the wilderness for 40 days and begins his whole deal, there's this moment where he's baptized by John the Baptist. You guys remember this. And a dove descends, and there's this voice from heaven, and it says, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." All right, now this isn't just some random voice. This is the voice of God. And he's saying, "This is my son. This is a guy I love. I'm proud of him." And Jesus hasn't done a miracle yet. He hasn't turned the water into wine yet. He hasn't healed anybody. He hasn't gone to the cross. This is before all the works of Jesus. All right, think about that. Before all the works. And what did God do? He gave him his approval. And then out of that place, Jesus operated. Out of God's approval, he operated. And so, you know, you want your kids to do right, and we all do, but it starts with us giving them the approval, and then doing right will come out of that. Right? Does that make sense? We see also Jesus, is the scribes, they're questioning Jesus, and they're quizzing him, and they ask him, "What's the greatest commandment?" And, you know, a lot of us have to learn this. You know, Jesus says, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your strength. Then he says, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, what Jesus is doing there, all right, he says these are the two great commandments, and they're equal. And he says all the law boils down to these two things. Basically, all, you know, that God is called, it boils down to these two things. And that revealed to me that Jesus understood the heart of the Father, and that was the only way he was ever able to fulfill the law. See, we think that Jesus walked around with a rule book in his back pocket and had to check every time. Oh, he got in a certain situation. Okay, well, what does it say? All right, well, we can't do this on the Sabbath. Okay. You know, it's not how it was. He had the values of God in him, so when he was in a situation, he acted how God would. Right? And so, you know, as parents, we can say, don't do this when you're here. All right, and so the kid will get there, and they'll think, okay, what did mom tell me? What did she say? Oh, I can't remember. Okay, and you do whatever. But what's crazy as a kid is when you start to get your parents' values, you'll get in that situation, and it won't be about what they said to you. It'll be about who you are and what the values you have. And Jesus had the same values that God had. So when he was confronted in those situations, he responded how God would. And tonight, if you're not a parent and you're just kind of tuning out, this is true for your walk in Christ. As you begin to value what God values, you won't ever have to think about, oh, I need to do this or, oh, I need to do that. It'll just come out of you. That's called the fruits of righteousness. And a tree doesn't struggle to bear fruit, does it? No, it just does it because that's who it is. And the same way as kids, when our parents give us these values instead of these external rules, these internal values will rule us and they'll guide us. And so it's no longer what they told me or what they said 7 years ago or any of this nonsense. It's not about the chore chart any longer. It's about
sore subject.
It's about the values that they have that they've imparted to me, and that's everything that I do comes from there. And that's a crazy thought. That's a crazy piece of revelation that you need to get a hold of. All right? And like I said, this applies. The whole kingdom works this way. We learn to value what God values, and we'll begin to act like he would act. The only way I can ever imitate God is when I know his love for me and I know his love for people. How am I supposed to love people if I don't know God's love for them? How am I supposed to even love God? It says that in 1 John. We love him because he first loved us. And so this whole thing, you know, we got to impart our values to our kids. And this happens in everything we do. That's the tough part. It's not just one day at one moment in time. Okay, here's my value. Here's our values. All right, and then you just go on. It's every moment. It's when you're in the car and the person cuts you off, what you say. It's when, you know, so-and-so is doing this and how you respond to the situation. It's what you talk about around the kitchen table. It's about what you do with your money. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This whole cable thing that we've been talking about, this is a whole values deal, right? That's the reason we cut the cable, was because of values thing. We realized, hey, we need this money to do this. This is far more important than us watching TV. In the same way, everything that we do when we're guided by these values, it's no longer, what does the Bible say? But what are the Ten Commandments? It's none of that. You know, I just respond in that situation. And so, like I was, get back to that, a lot of parents, what they do is they have these values, but they, A, never communicate them to their kids, all right? And that's something I think that they've always done with me, is there's been no doubt in my mind what's important in life, what really matters, what's truly vital. There's never been a time where I had the question, you know, well, does this matter, does this matter? It's just been very clear as we've been growing up. And then, as far as when it comes to, like I was saying, spending money or all this different stuff, how you as a parent act is far more important than what you'll ever say to your kid, I believe. How you act day to day, what you do when it gets tough, when life gets tough, that'll really impact your kid. It'll really change them. Because you can say a lot of things, but until we see an action, I mean, you can say, you know, love so-and-so, well then, you know, but you're still not forgiving them, so that doesn't really make sense. I'm not really going to do that. And so this is really the tough part of the Christian life. And like she was saying earlier, you know, one good motivation just to become love, which is what we're called to do, is for the sake of our kids. And because you, when you act and what you say and what you do, if you're doing it all from your own point of view, all from your flesh, it's never going to translate over to us. But when you're doing it from the Spirit, from His grace empowering you to do it, we'll get it. And then we'll understand. And I can think of countless times in our house when something has happened and maybe they've responded to a situation in a way that wasn't holy. And it's happened plenty of times. But what's amazing is that me and Grayson, we've been able to discern between what's them and what's their flesh, what's y'all's flesh, because we know your values so well. And so, you know, if they say something to me that hurts my feelings, sure, for a moment I'm upset, but then I realize, hey, that's not who they are. That's not even, because countless time after time after time, I've seen their values have been shown to me, and if this doesn't line up with that, well, then I'm not listening to that, and I'm not taking that, because that's not who they are, and that's not who I am. Do you see that? So it makes your job, actually it makes your job easier, because when you do mess up, oh, we see, oh, it's not really them, it's just the flesh getting in the way. You see that? And that helps us out a lot. It really does. The whole values thing, my goodness.
Yeah, it's huge. That's when we were talking earlier this week, Harry, it was really a great revelation. I'd never seen it. Credit where credit's due. The Ten Commandments were rules. And then they took those and added a lot to it. And I think Sunday or a couple of weeks ago, Matt said that eventually they made 666 rules. It was a different number, but of rules that came out of what they saw as the Ten Commandments. In other words, you start with your rules. And if you rule your house, if you conduct your home life and you raise your children on rules, there are never going to be enough rules. Isn't that right? There are never going to be enough rules, because you're going to have a rule for everything. And then there are things that don't even exist yet that you're going to have to make some rules for. I mean, when my boys were little, we didn't have internet. So then I had to make some more rules. And then I can't make enough rules. And that's what we saw under the old covenant. There aren't enough rules. And some of us were raised in rule-based homes. How many of you were raised where there were a lot of rules at your house? You know. And then how many of you have been in the military? They have a lot of rules. They're very rule-based, not a grace-based place. The kingdom of God is grace-based, not rule-based. But then Jesus came and he said, let's take all these rules and set them aside for a minute. Not because there's not good principles there. He said, what I want to do is give you the Father's values instead. Love him, whole hog for God, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you'll do those two things, then we don't have to worry about all the rules, because you won't kill, you won't bear false witness. Isn't that right? Isn't that what we all understand, that if you walk in love, you won't fulfill, we don't have to worry about all the other rules, right? Because this is what's really important. These are the, so he took a load off by saying, here, go do this. And he communicated values as opposed to rules. And as parents, we have to focus on the values that we have. And I see it like this, and it's made parenting so much easier for me, because I can't keep up with the rules myself. I'm not good at rules myself. But if I will give him my values, then whatever situation comes up, and I'm endeavoring to give him godly values, I'm hoping mine are from the Bible and inspired by God, I give them to him. Whatever is happening, I may never have even thought of the situation to tell him what to do or what not to do. It's just, my kids have faced some things that are just outside of my realm of comprehension, honestly. We live in a crazy mixed up world. I mean, I remember when Maddie Sue came home and told me her friends were all smoking hookah. And I did H-O-O-K-A. Do y'all know that? I'd never heard of it. So if I was living by rules, I had never given the rule about not smoking hookah because it's not illegal and it's not tobacco. It's not weed. You know what? So I had not made a rule about that. And she was at a party where everybody was smoking hookah. So now I didn't make a rule. She didn't have a, you understand? So what is she going to do? Well, thankfully, we didn't live by rules. We live by values. And a value is, in our family, we have a really big value that we live for God. And we follow his plan. And we look on the inside. We look to the word. And we look on the inside. So when she's in that situation and everybody's smoking the hookah and the pot or whatever it is going around. Do y'all know about hookah? Hookah. See, I don't even know. Hookah. Whatever it is. There was this thing. See, I told you I don't know about it. But Maddie encountered it. She was 14 or 16 something, and she encounters it. I didn't know about it. I hadn't warned her about it. But there she was. She had values we'd given her so she could make a good decision about it. And her decision was such that she came home and told me, Mom, let me tell you what happened. I was at this party. I was with these people, and look what they were doing, and my goodness. And she said, and I just thought to myself, I'm not going to do that. But that came out of her because she made a values-based judgment, not because my mom told me not to. Do you understand? And so all through life, they will carry the values. And I'm seeing they will make the decision I would make if I was there, if they have my values. So that's, I'm telling you, that takes a load off. And I was just preparing for this. I was raised in a family that had strong values, and we knew it. And, you know, for better or for worse. And same thing in our own family. We have values. A value we have, I just told you one of our values. Another value we have in our family is serving others. And it's very interesting in our family. I've never asked our kids to serve in the church. Never asked our kids to serve in the church. But our kids, all these two, obviously serve a lot in this church. Our older two daughters are both very involved in serving in their churches. It's really interesting. Serving, and we've never sat down and said, you got to serve in church, you got to do that. It's never. It's because it's something that was lived out before them. Serving. So that's a big value. And if you live with Matt Judd, you would have that value. He's all about that. That's Matt's big value. We are here to serve, man. Now, I have a big, strong value that we need to laugh and have as much fun as possible. And so we have that in our family. And whenever we're together, there's a lot of laughter. And whenever we text, we have group texts all the time, there's a lot of funny stuff going on there. But see, it doesn't all have to be like, Jesus said, I've come that you may have, and the Amplified says, and enjoy life. So that's big for me. I like to have fun and enjoy life. I got that from my mom's family. We like to enjoy life. Matt got that from his family. We like that. So it's a value. That's why I brought that up, because values aren't just the big serious stuff. Having fun is a value, isn't it? And enjoying life and laughing as much as possible, those are values. What were you going to say? Oh, well, I'll just share a couple more values, because what we're going to ask you to do, what I want to ask you to do as we leave here tonight, and I know we've kind of smattered around, this is the first time we've ever done this. We've talked a lot about it, but figuring out how we were going to flow together, thank you for being patient with us, but next week we'll be more in a flow. But we want to ask you tonight that when you leave here, that you go home and think about what are your values in your family. Now, your values, There are certain values you'll have that will be different than ours. I hope all of you can embrace a value that you're going to live your life for God today, not when you grow up. But today, and not when, you know, other things change, but today you're going to live whole hog for God. And you're going to follow him fully. I hope you'll embrace that. But you may have other values that are not the same as ours. But whatever your family values are, you need to talk about them. If you're married, talk to your mate. If you're not married, that's fine. Think about it. What are your values? And talk to your kids. Ask them, what do you think? What do you perceive that is most important around here? Ask them that. What do you think is most important to me? What's most important in our house? You know, I've shared this before, and it's a good friend of mine, but it's so ridiculous in my mind. But this just shows you what values do. She told me one time at a very serious moment that she'd had a frank discussion with her husband that if she were to die young and leave her children, you know, and die before her children were gone from home, that it was really, really, really important to her that he continue to dress the children in the manner in which she dressed them. And that's a strong value. Now, that may be a value to you. That's, you know, and it is. If that's your biggest value, you've got some issues. But but that was a big value. I can tell you, it doesn't even make my lip top 100, but you know that. You've seen Grayson. And me, for that matter. But anyway, it's the whole notion of what are your values at your house? What are the things that are most important to you? And I mean, like Harry said, it's really obvious at our house, and I just wrote down a few. Serving others, that's huge. Generosity is a huge value in our house. And again, that's something that both Matt and me big time got from our families. His parents traveled and taught on tithing for the Catholic Church. And my family, that is the strongest value in my family. We're my parents and brothers, sisters. I don't have any sisters. My parents and brothers. Another big value for us, and this is something of who we are, we value taking risk. It's really big for us. We do not like playing it safe. And sometimes it's a detriment to us, to be honest. But we value taking risk, which is why we started a church and have done a lot of the things that we've done. And we challenge our children to take risk and to have adventures. And, you know, Harry's taken a gap year this year out of college. I mean, not going to college, which for him on paper does not make sense. But we're challenging him and encouraging him to have an adventure. He and Parker are leaving in a few weeks, and they're going to Peru for 3 weeks. And then Grayson and Wesley are going to go down and meet them and be there for about 10 days. And we're not going with them, and the Allens aren't going with them. We're doing that because we want them to go and take risks and have adventure and to learn everything they need to know from God. And so we just push them to take to have adventures. That's a big value for us, you know, and we have big value. We have different values. What are the values you have? I think that's a really critical discussion to have. I mean, it's interesting if you're a husband and wife and you've never talked about what your values are. Some of you haven't yet had children. It'd be good to go ahead and discuss that before they come along, because you discover quickly when you have children sometimes that you have different values, you know. And we had a big problem with that because Matt likes things really orderly, and we had chore charts. And they didn't work well in our house. And that's like the biggest problem we ever had at our house with these non-ending chore charts. And he was so frustrated with them. And honestly, I didn't support the chore charts. I didn't. I'm anti-chore charts. Matt, you knew it when you made the charts. I mean, I tried my best, but it's just really hard for me to get behind the chore chart. When there was fun to be had, man. So much more we could be doing. But you know what I'm saying? But you will have issues that come up that are values issues, and you don't even realize it. But I really strongly recommend you talk about this and you talk with your kids. It's interesting. I'm not going to take time to read it, but in the Bible in Deuteronomy, God gave instruction, and he said to them, you take my words and you talk about them. He said, you talk about them when you sit in the house, and you talk about them when you walk by the way, and he went on to tell him, you post them on your doorpost, you put them as frontlets before your eyes, you got to get, and really what he was saying is you got to take what I'm telling you and keep it in the middle of your life. And the word in there when he says to talk about them, that word talk doesn't mean to lecture. And I think we as parents, as Christian parents, sometimes we think what we need to do is we need to have a family devotion and we need to gather the children in a circle and I need to pray and read a scripture and then I need to teach them. And I've heard people talk about that many times. I can tell you we've never had that at our house. If you do that and do it well, good for you. But it just never has worked with us. But you know what we do? Is we do a lot of talking, and that word talking means to converse. It doesn't mean to lecture. It means to converse. And when you converse, you don't do all the talking. That means you do a whole lot of listening. And if you'll sit and you'll listen, you'll learn so much by listening. Boy, and there's so much shaping and molding that can be done in listening. So you listen, you talk some, and you listen, and you ask questions, and then you listen, and then you talk some, and then you listen, and then you ask more questions, and you listen. And in that, there's ideas communicated, and the children feel safe, like they can actually share. But if everything they say, you correct it, if everything that they start to share, you jump right in the middle and try to, you know, well, make this some big thing that it's not. Or you, they got to have somewhere where they can talk. And if your kids aren't talking to you, you got some big issues. So I just want to leave you tonight with, have some conversations this week about your values. And I know some of you have little kids and they're real, you know, probably too small to have some real intelligent conversations. But a five-year-old, you can talk to them about these issues. And certainly if you have preteens, you have teenagers, you should be having lots of conversations about what is important to us. And discover them. It'd be a really cool exercise to just write down what are the five things. Ask them, what five things do we value most here? And see if y'all agree. That'd be interesting to do, wouldn't it? And see, do theirs match what you're talking about? Or, you know, what you think they are. Be very interesting when they say to you, I think entertainment's really important to you. Obviously, football on Saturdays is really important. I think that's one of our values. And you're thinking, oh, okay, I was going to put down, you know, like seeking God. No, I don't really think that's a value here. Say something nice to end it here. We've gone over on our time.
What we will do next week, we're going to talk about identity, and we'll probably talk about values again. But so I encourage you to do that. Talk to your kids. Talk to each other. And, you know, if you're single, just find somebody else to talk to about values. Talk to God about values. But I think this, we haven't talked about this. Next week, what we'll do after we're done is we'll go and pray for families. All right. And I don't know how long that'll take, but we'll do that. Does that sound good? And then commission you off and whatever. But so let's pray tonight as we go. Thank you, Lord, for who you are, Lord. Thank you, Father, for what's been said tonight. Father, I pray that the word would be multiplied in all the hearers' hearts tonight, Lord. I pray that as we go, I thank you, Lord, for your safety and your protection, Father, and your blessing on our lives. Lord, I know that there's issues. I know that there's problems, Lord, and we in ourselves can't solve anything. So we look to you, and we trust in you this week. And I thank you, Lord, oh, for joy in households. I thank you for peace in households. And I thank you for love in households this week. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.